folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. It's a great day. So good to be in the Lord's house, to be with you folks, and just see your cheerful faces, and just to know that God has been good to you and blessed you. What a blessing it is to be a part of this great family. So we welcome you, and we just want to say may the Lord bless you, and might you be encouraged by what takes place here today. May you be strengthened in your walk with Christ, that you'll have one of the most joyful weeks ahead in Christ Jesus. Let us worship together this morning.
Before our hymn of worship, we're going to go to number 66, first and last verse, and Benny will do the prayer. This whole thing.
Dear God, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we're so thankful to have a God who is concerned and who cares for us, who loves us, and provided us in such a wonderful way. And we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for this day that we can come back together as we look out upon this congregation, Heavenly Father, and we just hear in the sound of their voices and the power of this song, Heavenly Father, that they appreciate, they love you, they just desire to have you work in their lives. So, Heavenly Father, be present with us this morning. Through thy Holy Spirit, go among us, be among us. Strengthen anyone that's weak and give instruction to anyone needing instruction, Heavenly Father. But strengthen us, O God, we pray, in our walk with Christ Jesus, your wonderful Son and our great Savior. So now as we come, we thank you for blessing us through the past week. Give us another opportunity to be here today. We pray that we will be prepared to go forth from this house today and live a joyous, victorious, sharing life in Christ Jesus, whose name we praise you. Amen.
Amen. Now, communion hymn, we're going to use number 154, sing all three verses.
Oh,
Saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful we can be together this morning and enjoy each other's company. We're thankful that we have a place we can come together to worship and feel safe. We're especially thankful for this Veterans Love, which represents thy Son, that through him we'll have life and have it everlasting. We pray that the things that we say and do this morning be pleased into thy sight. We ask that you be with us and help us to grow in thy name. These words we ask in thy name. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the blessings we receive each day. As we bring a portion of these gifts back through our tithes and offerings, we ask that you multiply them for the old kingdom. We ask this thing in Jesus' name.
Couple things to share with you and just to rejoice in also. We really appreciate all the folks that came out Friday night to our Fun Food Fellowship. I know it wasn't the best of the night, but boy, I mean, we had a great group anyway. And gosh, it was just a good time. We was having such a good time, we didn't have time to play games. The food was so great as always. And boy, I say again, you know, I've said this before, but you folks that bring your food, If you have part of your food or half of your food that you brought to take home with you, have to take home with you, don't think anything about that, because it's not that it wasn't good, because it's always all good. It's just there's so much of it, you just can't partake of all of it. And so you folks are so good. So it was so good. And Ron tried to make me believe he baked this cake, and he didn't. It had Tina written all over it. It was really good. And I want to say thanks to the choir. And you did a great job for us last week, the hymn sing. The hymn sing was really great. Yeah. Give them a good hand. Yeah, they deserve that, because they worked and they put forth effort and they shine, you know. And you folks really looked good, you did good, and was just blessed. You blessed the people. But it was a whole good evening. And so you folks that haven't been participating in those, we encourage you to do that, because it's a real, really encouraging and strengthening time there. Okay, have to share with you a thank you here. We talk about Terry having the brain problem and so forth, and it's doing good. Sends a note and says, I'm grateful, you know, for this. Thank you so much for all of your thoughts and your prayers. Love, Terry. And, you know, the people, even though we don't know or sometimes who these people are, we get names and we get to, yeah, I know who they are. Yeah.
He had heart surgery.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, you, all right. Sorry to get that mixed up. But whatever it was, he's doing all right. That's the main point. Hey, listen, if you got heart surgery, it has effect on your brain too. Yeah, so it's doing good. So we rejoice. What I was going to say, you know, isn't it wonderful, you know, to see people that appreciate your prayers and so forth. And so keep on praying for those people. We have a great group of people, We have quite a group of people on our prayer list now. And so pray for them earnestly. And let's go over a few of those. Pauline's here. And so we're glad that you're here. But as most of you know, Effie, her sister, had passed away, who has been ill for some time. And so she will be laid out at the funeral home, or where funeral home, just north of Sadieville, north of Cynthiana, Monday, tomorrow, from 11 to 1. Funeral will be at 1 o'clock. So our prayers will be with you, and hopefully some of us will be able to support you physically. And so God bless you. And We know that you come from quite a size of a family and so forth, and enjoyed, had a lengthy time together, and so that's great. So, let's look at some. Pat McFarland, that we've talked about, she's going to have an operation. She's went through some operations. She's going to have an operation the 11th of this month on her back and so forth, and so we pray that those things will work out good there. Tommy Perkins, we don't know the results on him, but if I understood this right, they took some tests, some things set off to be tests, and they told him, that if that was a certain thing, he would die before they got the test back. And so I'm assuming, because we haven't heard, I'm assuming the test has come back and he's still living. We don't know. So we just pray it has. And so hopefully things are going good for him. And then also I want to mention Doodle back there. We want to pray for Doodle. Doodle's hip. He's had that replacement and he's had a problem with that. Has suffered pain, you know, and you can stand a little pain once in a while, you guess, you know. But if you got something that pains you constantly, that's bad. And he's going to go. He's got an appointment with the doctor, and they're going to look and see what's going on and see if they can relieve that. So let's pray earnestly that they'll be able to come up with something that he'll be relieved from that. You know, I really believe in your prayers, and I really believe in praying for one another, and I'm so thankful for your prayers. And I tell you, not stand to boast, but boy, I'm so thankful, and I'm so glad that know that people's prayed for me, and I know that it's worked, and God has worked through those prayers, and it's great. So do that. Tina's telling me this morning her father's still doing good. He's not back now. There for a while, he was in the hospital, and out. So it's great that he doesn't have to do that. So we just keep praying for those folks like that. Peggy is absent this morning, and has an illness. We pray that she'll be all right, be strengthened up, and so forth. Things will work well. Who else we have here? We have also Becky Hershnar. I can't really pronounce that right. And that is Kim's cousin. And, you just don't know sometimes what, when, and what's going to happen. They were going into Wendy's. Into Wendy's to have a snack. Got tangled up in the carpet, I guess, tripped over. Fell and broke her shoulders and cut her head. And in the process, she died. She has a child like our grandchild Ashley, and has been such a blessing, but that child is now 40 years old, 43. Some 42 years old, has never been away from Becky, and so there, that pray for that family and for that child, and just pray for them. Also, Chandler Link, having a tremendous time in their lives taking place there. Pray earnestly for them. Everyone on our prayer list, keep them in mind. Vern's here this morning. He told me about middle of the week, I was talking to him. He said, I'll be there Sunday. And so he's here. And so, you know, as I was kind of kidding him, but I'm really honestly, you know, you speak out those saints and say, yeah, Lord's willing, I'm going to do that and do that and do that and do this and that, and this will happen and so forth. And I think those things has a lot to do with our physical makeup and such. So we pray, is this medicine, or is it working for you, Vern? Is it helping you now? Okay, good. You know, we talked about it. You know, he had these antibiotics and so forth. They didn't work. Well, he's going to have operations, so they've changed now and got something else for him. We hope that'll get you. Hope that gets you going, man. All right. Great. All right, Pat, we mentioned her. Let's see. There's so many on our prayer list, and we visited with Agnes last week. Listen, Agnes told me you haven't been there since she has been in the rest home. Scold her. You go see your aunt. Is she your aunt? I told you one time, I said it was her sister. She said, that's not my sister.
I don't have any sisters.
It's her aunt. But you take time this week and go see your aunt. But the folks that are in there, oh, the place is full. Place is full. Pray for those who care for them. All right. Well, our service people, our nation, what we're going through and all the turmoil that's taking place, all the disunity. Let's pray for unity. We've been studying our Bible class about the disunity in the church. Yes. Yes.
Did Ada tell you about Joe Carroll?
No.
I read a text that Ada got yesterday, and Joe Carroll is cancer free.
Ooh. Thank you, Lord.
No. No. The nurse told her. She has not seen the doctor yet.
Oh,
the
okay.
Nurse told her.
Okay.
But she has to go see the doctor.
Okay.
Now.
Okay. All right. Okay. I also did hear, though, that I got word that Billy hasn't been doing real well.
He's doing better.
Doing better? Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Okay. So be concerned about all the people that's on our prayer list. I wish we had time. We'd just go and talk about them. And sometimes we're just going to come together on Wednesday night and just have a great big prayer meeting. We need to do that. We ought to do it often. Yes, Jerry.
TV this week that he is cancer free.
Praise the Lord.
They're going to monitor him every 6 months to be sure that it does not return, but right now he is cancer free.
Great.
He's 10 years old.
Isn't that great? You know, we haven't heard lately about the 5-year-old girl from over to Turkey Foot. Anybody heard anything about her?
Hospital.
Huh?
She was in the hospital the last we heard.
Has she? Okay. I was going to ask somebody.
She had pneumonia. All right.
Okay. So, we have difficulties, we have problems, but isn't it wonderful that we have a God that cares and concerned and helps and so on? We're going to be faced with a lot of different things in our life. Hey, the older you get, the more things you're going to be probably faced with, you know, deal with and so forth. But we got a God that's concerned about it. Let's go into Him now. Talk to Him about that.
For our hymn, using number 218, sing the first and last verse. And I'll have the prayer. That's all I'll say.
Songs of praise and hear thy words of fame. Be with the ones mentioned on the prayer list up here, restored back to their normal health again, be thy will. Go with us now to the full exercise of the service, be as many as he brings the morning message. These words we ask in thy name. Amen.
Amen.
Invitation to him would be number 401. This time the choir is going to be special.
Thank you. Amen. We're working on the attendance sheet this last week to see, and hopefully maybe next week, if not next week, a week after. I'll try to have it next week to recognize those who didn't miss any, up to three Sundays, and we have several that did that. We didn't have as many this last year as we had the year before, but that's all right. Most of you people, about all you people, do really, really do good in your attendance. You don't miss very much, and that's really great. We appreciate that. And so anyhow, you folks who have ended your month reading, which was in the middle of the week, put an X on your by your name back there. Let us know that you've got your month done, and hopefully about that. But Judy, I gotta have to get after Judy back there. You know, I tried to encourage this because and give you this list so that each one of us will be reading that passage that day. But Judy says, "I've done read clear through the first five books." Well, I'm sitting there reading my daily reading. I'm saying, well, Judy's reading it today. Jerry's reading it today. And Donna's reading it today. And everybody's reading it today. No, she's done read ahead. But, you know, that's all right. I read ahead too. But, you know, I still go back and read that daily one. Because I like that, because sometime during the day, I figure that you people, most of you people, are reading the same passage. And I think that's encouraging. Because, you know, oftentimes we talk about prayer. And hey, this little thing, I read this thing last week. You got to be careful what you're praying for. Because this lady, this elderly lady, she was praying to give, she said, "Dear God, make my skin like a teenager." And she woke up the next morning and she had acne. But you know, times past we have talked about praying for somebody, and this person's going to have an operation at 7 o'clock in the morning. And so we encourage people to pray at 7 o'clock or a little before, be in prayer for that. So that's really encouraged to know that you have a group of people praying for you at that particular time. And that's kind of goes along with the reading, you know. Read as far as you want to, as much as you want to, that's great. The more you read, the more you'll enjoy it. But if you will, read that passage, because you will know that during the day, sometime today, and maybe while you're reading it, you don't know who else is reading it right with you. Okay, encourage you to do that. All right. Now, I'm going to try to catch up with you next week. I said, well, because we were out one Sunday, I'm trying to get, and I've got worked up a lot of things here. And the week that you're reading, I'm going to take something out of that weekly reading and use it. So this would be week before last that I'm here. So I'm going to jump next week and catch up with you. So whatever you're reading this week, sometime during this week, my message will be from that weekly passage. This comes from chapter 25. Actually, we're not going to read a bunch, because there's 50 chapters. Can you imagine? That talks about the tabernacle. That's 25 times as much as the creation. Two chapters on the creation. 50 chapters that talks about the tabernacle. 25 through 30 gives a lot of things about it. And that's what the message is coming from there this morning. And I get it from chapter 25 and look verse 8 in particular. I'm going to read down to verse 8. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring an offering of every man, and giveth it willingly with his heart. Yea, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take of them: gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, and badger skin, and shittim wood, oil for the lights, spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, oxion stones, and stones to be set in the ephod," that's on the vest that Aaron wears, stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, that I may dwell among them. And I know this is going to deal a lot with the tabernacle, but the reason for the tabernacle was God dwelling with them. God was with them all the way from Egypt. You know, in Egypt, God wasn't with them. You know, I don't know that some people knows that. He wasn't. It's much like the period between the Old Testament time and the New Testament time, where God never heard from him. But now, when he brings them finally, as we talked last week, brings them out of Egypt, he follows, he leads them with a cloud in a day and a far by night, the fiery cloud by night. That was should be enough to let them know God is with us. But God has always, as in verse 8 there says, I may dwell among them. God has always wanted to dwell with his people. He wants to dwell with you. He does dwell with his church. But God has always wanted to dwell with his people. Well, he created. In the beginning, God created. And then he made man. What for? To fellowship with. Dwell among his people. And so he gives instructions to Moses that here in 29 or 19 and 20 we see Moses and they are now come out of Egypt, across the opened the waters and crossed, they've been at Rephidim, they have left there, they've come to Sinai now, the desert of Sinai. They're now coming to the Mount Sinai. And that's where Moses will go up and he'll get the Ten Commandments. God will talk to him and so forth. And that's, and if you remember reading that, God said, tape off. And when I read that, I get to end. You know, the police, when they have a crime scene or something, they put this tape around it. So he says, tape off the mountain, Moses, down there. Don't let them people touch the mountain. If they touch the mountain, they'd die. And why was that taped off? Because sinful man cannot come into the presence of holy God. So he doesn't want them to come to that mountain. If they touch it, they're going to die. We read several times where God gives instructions for people not to do this. And when we get to the ark, he says, you know, certain people, don't touch that ark. If you do, you'll die. And, you know, a couple of people died. So he gives instructions, don't do that. And what that, the meaning of that was, God is holy. And man is sinful, and sinfulness can't mix with holiness. It separates. So in the Garden of Eden, God came down and walked in the cool of the evening with Adam, fellowshiped there with them and talked with them. Adam sinned. Sin fell upon mankind. Adam was cast out of the garden. He no longer had that fellowship with God. He didn't have that walking together. So sinful man cannot come into the presence of holy God. So there's a separation. Marcus put this crime scene up. Don't let him come, he says. Moses, and of course, you know, Moses went up the mountain, got the Ten Commandments. You know all about that. You've read that. And so forth. And so Moses gets the instructions to build this tabernacle, this dwelling place, this house, so to speak, that God can dwell in and be among his people. And we'll get to that a little later. But when we talk about Habakkuk says, in Habakkuk 1:13 speaks of God's eye. He says, God's eyes being too pure to look upon sin, therefore God cannot put up with our wrongdoings. God just can't look upon sin. He turns away from sinful man and separation. It does separate us. Because God is pure and he is sinless and mankind is sinful, and those two things just can't mix. You know, water and gasoline just can't mix. And sin and holiness just can't mix. But God wants, and as we read here, he has that desire to be among and with his people. God has a great, great desire to be among his people. So this morning we see that God has made preparation to be able to fellowship among his people. In doing so, he gives Moses the instructions to build a tabernacle, a dwelling place, a place where God can meet with his people. We talk about this church house, and you know, there's nothing real holy about this church house. What's holy is when you people come here. Because when you people come here, what happens? You meet God here. You know, I don't know sometimes whether we really take seriously where two or three are gathered by name, there will I be, Jesus said. I always believe and look for the fact the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, is dwelling here this morning. God is with us in some manner, form, or fashion. And he's promised that. So, yea, we can talk with God at home and so forth, but it's nothing like when you people come together here as a family and feel the presence of God. I hope you feel the presence of God every weekend, every time you come here. And I know, you know, I like the old preacher says, you know, this lady said, you know, he said she didn't get anything out of what he preached that morning. He said, well, the reason you didn't get anything out of it, you didn't bring something to put it in. And so that happens sometimes. But I hope you really do get something. I hope that you have something. I hope that the Holy Spirit works with you and the Spirit moves and helps you. Know. And some of the things I say that doesn't make sense to me sometimes, the Holy Spirit says that's for you and it makes sense to you. So whatever takes place, I hope the Holy Spirit works that around and it makes sense and it helps you in some way. I won't know about it, but the Holy Spirit knows about it. God is here dwelling with us and we want him to do that. So God said, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, you just, here's the instructions. Once you build this tabernacle, once that's going to be a place for me to dwell, that I'll be able then to meet with the people. And God really wanted the Israelites to understand his holiness. And I think that today, If our nation could understand the holiness of God, you get me? If these people who are knocking the godly things could understand the holiness of God, they sure would look at things a lot different than they do. And God wanted the Israelites to understand his holiness, and he wanted them to understand his desire to be among them. See, God desires to be among our nation. Our nation has been blessed and is blessed, but God cannot dwell as he would like to in our nation because of some people who are rejecting it. But God wants us to know, even though what's taking place, he wants us to know he desires to dwell with us. He wants us to know his holiness, and he wants us to know his desire to be among us. And so he says, here's the instruction, build this tabernacle so that I'll have a place for that to take place. At that time, the Israelites didn't know that the tabernacle had within it, as we do today. And I hope I'll refresh you about some of that in a little bit. They didn't know that the tabernacle had everything to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything from the Old Testament was looking forward, making preparations for the coming of Jesus. For the coming of Jesus. And this tabernacle, we studied in our Bible class a time or two about the things, the shadows of things to come, the pattern of things to come. And this tabernacle truly is a shadow of things to come. It is a pattern laid out by God, a perfect pattern. God has a perfect plan for mankind, as I told our Sunday school class this morning. He has a perfect plan to perfect his people. And he starts here with this tabernacle in doing it. And we'll see through this tabernacle, we'll end up seeing Jesus very plainly, hopefully here. The word tabernacle means tent, a place of dwelling, a sanctuary. And as they traveled from place to place, Now, you have to think about this a little bit. And if you read, as you just read that a couple weeks ago, and the instructions and all pertaining to it, that was quite a task to make that, to build that, direct that, and then to set it up here in at Sinai. And when God says, okay, we're going to move, want you to move, they got to take it down and pack it up and take it with them. The Levites were in charge of doing that, carry that with them. And when God said, okay, stop, then they erect it again. When God said, go, they pick it up. When he said, stop, they erect it again. That was an awesome job. And as you read all those instructions and what it pertaining to it, it was an awesome job. Quite an undertaking as they traveled. We know God doesn't need a house. What was it David said? The heavens and everything couldn't contain God. And he doesn't need a house, but he wants this place so that he can dwell with his people. And he sets that in motion. God gives the exact plans. We read in the scripture where God tells Moses, and you read that just a couple weeks ago, he said, now Moses, you go down and you build this tabernacle and you do it according to the plan. The pattern I gave you up on the mountain, you make it just exactly like I told you. And if you remember, you'll read that two or three times. Just exactly like I told you. An off remark here for that is this. God has a plan for us to do certain things in a certain way. You build this tabernacle just exactly like the pattern I gave you in the mountain. A lot of people take Christ's salvation. And Christ says, you do this, this, this. And some people do this and not that and this. But the plan of salvation should be voiced just as God told Moses. If you will do exactly what Jesus told you to do, you will be saved. You will experience the presence of God in your life. Now, there's a lot of people missing out because they don't do exactly what God says to do. But he tells him to do that. God told exactly like the plan. Inch by inch. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes if I'm building something, if I'm within a half inch, I'll nail it up. But boy, if God tells you to do it, you better get on the mark. Inch by inch, he told you, build that thing just as I told you. Notice that we said there, the people brought these offerings. You know, there was 6 tons of gold and silver and bronze in that thing. All this, you wonder where they got that, don't you? How many of you know where they got that? Yeah, they got that from the Egyptians. All those pearls, all those diamonds, listen, those Egyptian women, they took their jewelry box and they said, here, take my jewelry box. Take all these jewels and get out of here. We don't want any more of these plagues. We don't want to lose any more of our children. Take my gold, take my silver, take my boards, take my linens. Can you imagine? I mean, sometimes, you know, you think, and they're coming out of Egypt and they're escaping slavery and they're in a hurry and they're running for their life. Hey, they got a train load of stuff. I mean, they got you read that and you know what, all the stuff they have. You get all, so God says, you gather all this stuff. Hey, that was part of God's plan, wasn't it? That's part of it. God knew that he was going to build a house out here, this tabernacle. He said, you got to get that stuff from the Egyptian and go out. It's great. So I'll go in there. All right. So God said, take it and go back. And Moses and his people brought their offerings down and put it in. And Numbers 14:14, Nehemiah 9:19. I won't go back to those and so forth. I want to hurry on here. And to build this, you know, he was always with his people, but he wants this place so they'll know they're present here. And so now listen, I don't want you to make fun of me. Don't laugh at me when I do this. But I'm just doing this to try to help you, you know, to plant something in your mind. And, you know, you laughed at me before. But here's the tabernacle. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the tabernacle. And he's built it. And where's my pencil? So Moses has got the instructions, and it's built. And as we approach this, here's the tabernacle. This tabernacle area, this is 150 feet long here, the sides, 150 feet. This is 75 across. Hey, this is a fence clear around this tabernacle. Hey, there's a wall around the tabernacle. There's a fence 7 foot high around the tabernacle. And here's what we see as we go in here. Here's a gate. Now, you see we read about the blue and the purple and the scarlet. This gate has three different sections here. Notice this is the only place you can enter. There's no place to enter and out right here. So you go into the courtyard. This is what the courtyard of the tabernacle. First thing you come into is the bronze where you make a sacrifice, burn the sacrifice, altar, the bronze altar. And this is where you would bring your animal for your sins. You'd bring your animal, and the Levites then, you would kill, they would drain the blood, they would burn the sacrifice on this altar going in here. They would capture some of the blood because they'll use it later. Then the priest. Now the Israelites, they could loaf around in this area here. But the Levites, the priests had control of this altar, and you had to bring your animals. Whatever animal you was offering for your sin, you had to bring them, lay your hand on their head, and then the priest would take, the Levite would take that and offer it here on this altar here. Now the priest would go, and this thing here, that represents a lavender, a washed bowl. And that's where the priest always had to wash himself as they went here. Before they got to the tabernacle, they had to be cleansed. They had to wash. Couldn't go there. Now, as they enter here into the tabernacle, this is marked off in two sections like that. And this is 45 feet long and 15 feet wide. This section back here is a 15 cubic. This here would be 30 by 15. You come into here, the priest would come in here. There's three things in here. There is a golden lampstand here. And I'm not good at this. And that has seven lamps on it. And there's three things in here. The golden lampstand, that is one pure piece of gold. 75 pounds, they say, this lampstand. It has here an altar here. And that's where the incense is burned on it. It said bring the incense and different things to burn incense. This is, we'll talk about that later. And over here is the showbread. And there's 12 loaves of bread put on this table over here. And that represents the 12 tribes. Boy, we're going to run out of time. The 12 tribes of Israel. And I wish I had time to go into a lot more of this stuff because it's interesting. Do you know who the 12 tribes are? Do you know the names of the 12 tribes? How many? Okay, how many of you knows the 12 sons of Aaron? Not Aaron, but I'll get it here in a minute. Jacob's 12 sons, you know Jacob. I mean, when you was reading there, you've already read this in Genesis. If you caught all that, you could really nail a lot of things. You know, Jacob had 12 sons, and I won't go listen to them. I could name them to you off there. There was Reuben and Simeon, Levi, Judah, and then there was Dan and Nethla and Gad and Asher. And then there was Ishkar and Zebulun and then Joseph and Benjamin. And so if you listed them, that's what these 10 loaves represented, the 12 tribes. But it didn't list that. That wasn't the 12 tribes. Now, if you wanted to know the 12 tribes, you know what you do? You just pull out Levi, pull him out of there, and go down here and pull Joseph out. And you put in Ephraim in for Levi, and you put Manasseh in for Joseph. Well, you know why? Joseph died in Egypt. And you know who Ephraim and Manasseh, M-A-S-S, I can pronounce it, huh? Manasseh. You know who they are? They're Joseph's two sons. You remember when you read about it in down in Egypt where Jacob had Joseph to bring his two sons, and he laid his hand on them and blessed them, two sons. That's Ephraim and Joseph. And I don't know why Levi really was cast out. Levi got himself in a little dutch, but he must have done something more than what Simeon did. But if you remember, also Jacob and Leah had a daughter, Diana. And when they moved and they got by Shechem, a guy by the name of Shechem, out of Shechem, came and he raped Diana. And that was bad. And Dad was upset about it. And the brothers all upset about it. And Levi and Simeon sought to get revenge. And they went down, and the people from Shechem's dad even came and talked to Jacob and tried to appease that, let him marry and so forth. And so Simeon and Levi, they talked to the Shechem guys down there, Shechemites, and they said, well, here's a deal. We'll let you marry our sister, but you'll have to be one of us, and you'll have to be circumcised, and you'll come into our group, and you'll be, they said, you know, as I can visualize them, they thought, that's a good way out. Okay, they said, okay, we'll be circumcised, we'll be a part of you, and you'll be a part of us. So they were all circumcised. Now, here's where Levi and Simeon messed up. Dad didn't want them to fool that way. That wasn't the plan for Dad. But 3 days into the circumcision, they're so sore they can't move, the Shechemites. And so Levi and Simeon goes down with their swords and wipes out the Shechemites. That's one reason Levi's not in the 12 tribes. I don't know what else could. But it's really, and then, you know, Levi, if you went over here and put Levi over, and he had three sons, Kohath and Gershon, and I know the other one can't think of him, but Kohath, he goes down here. That's a son of Levi. And Levi also had a daughter by the name of Jochebed. You know who Jochebed was? Okay. And Amram was a son of Kohath, who was a son of Levi. They married. So Kohath married his aunt. That was all right in those days. And then Jochebed and Kohath had three children we know of. You know who they were? Anybody? Aaron, Marum, and Moses. So I don't know why I got off on it. But isn't that really interesting? You can take one little group here, and you can really go a long way. Okay, we get back here. The showbread. This showbread was to be changed every Sabbath. Every Sabbath. I read, now this is not biblical, but I read historical tells me that when they changed this bread, you know, bread a week old, laying there a week old, that would be stale stuff. But that was for the priest to eat. The priest, that was given to the priest to eat. So they replaced that every Sabbath. The Levite also had to have, because we read about the oils and stuff in there, they had to put oil in these lamps. This doesn't have candles in it like you put in the candle holders here. This has oils and wick. That lamp had to burn all the time. As long as that tabernacle was up, that lamp burned. They had to, the Levites had to furnish oil and trim the wicks and all that. There was no windows in this tabernacle. And so this light here, this candlestick, is the only light they had in here. No light back there. We'll talk about it later. And so they're preparing that. Now, this priest, the priest would burn incense here. He'd bring fire off this altar. He bring it back here, burn incense on that, and that sweet aroma would go up, and God would inhale that as our prayers, and that represented our prayers. This priest could only go behind this. This veil that's across there is real heavy, and that also is blue, purple, and what's the other color? Scarlet. Thank you. That is crossed there. You read those three things quite regular in there when you read that blue, purple, and scarlet. So this veil is curtains across there. This priest, when he goes in there, he has to wash, really wash, put on linen, white linen outfit with gold bells on the bottom. And the reason for that, he has to be clean to go in there. And the reason for the bells is that if these people in this area, and so if they didn't hear those bells ringing, they would think he was dead. This is historical, I know, but they say that when this priest went in there, they tied a rope around his ankle. And when he went in there, should he die, they would be able to drag him out without going in there, because if somebody else went in there, if someone went in there rather than the high priest, they'd die. You just can't go into the presence of God and live. So just the high priest could do that. Now, in there was this altar. This was the ark back there, covenant of the ark. That would have a plate of showbread. It would have the rod of Aaron in it. It would have what else? Showbread and
the manna.
Oh yeah, the manna from heaven that they had. Plate of manna. Plate of manna and not showbread is plate of manna, the rod of Aaron. The what?
Ten Commandments.
Oh yeah, the Ten Commandments. Thank you. I mean, help me, folks. I mean, that's too much to remember all that all that good stuff in there. Now also they would build a mercy seat on top of this, that mounted on top of that. The priest here, now he's got some blood. They've captured some blood here, carried it back. No blood on that altar, but blood has to go in here. And this is only once a year. And that blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat, and that atoned for their sins. Okay? Quite a journey here that we've taken. Now, quickly, if you will bear with me just a few more minutes here, take your time. I want to take you through this tabernacle one more time and want you to see Jesus. You willing to stay with me a few minutes? Okay. All right. Start here. Jesus. What's this? One way in. One door. What is it? John 10, 9 and 7, isn't it? That Jesus says, I am the door. Anybody that entereth in will be saved. This altar here, the sacrificial altar, what do you think about when you come to that? Here's what I think. That's poorly done. It's a cross. These were sacrifices that didn't take away your sin. It covered your sin. It atoned for 1 year. Next year it had to be done again. And daily you come and burn sin off it. These animals, these were sacrifices. This cross bears a sacrifice for you and me. He died on that cross. He sacrificed his life on that cross. This water vessel here, laver where you wash, what do you think about that? Baptism, washed clean. Are you washed in the blood? The blood shed here on this cross at Calvary. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That reminds me. Now he goes into the tabernacle. This candelabra, what's that represent? John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that cometh to me will have light of life, he says. Now, the incense will pass that. Over here is the showbread. And, of course, you're ahead of me, aren't you? What's that represent? John 6:35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He that followeth me will never hunger. He that believeth in me will never thirst, he says. And then we go back here and we bypass this incense because there. And we go behind here and into this. He is our high priest. He has entered the Holy of Holies for us. Now, when he died on this cross, sacrificed his life, this veil was rent in two. When Jesus says on the cross, it's finished, there was an earthquake, and some people rose out of the graveyard and came into town. At that time, this veil split. This high priest, when he went back there, he was a representative for the people, the Israelites. Jesus broke this barrier down. And now, you and I do not have to have a high priest. We do not have to have a high priest going in there offering for us. Jesus has broke that down, and you and I can approach God. You and I can approach God. Jesus made it possible for you, me, anyone who wants to come to the Lord Jesus Christ can approach God. We just did that a while ago. We approached God. Closing. God has always wanted to be with his people. And he went to such extent that he gave his only begotten son. And that tabernacle is a pattern that leads us, shows us his desire to be with his people. His people didn't know what you know now. They didn't know that was representation of the Christ that would come. God has always wanted to be with his people, and because God is perfect and holy and the people are sinful, we were separated from him. That Holy of Holies there, separated with that shield, that curtain. No one could go in there. But God's presence, the cloud just trickled down on that holy place, and that was him present with his people. Now, because God is perfectly holy and the people are sinful, we were separated from him. The tabernacle was a picture of what God's plan to take away the sins of the world. It didn't take their sins away. It covered them. But the plan was, when Jesus came, sacrifice life, take the sins away from the world. The Israelites' sins, your sins, and my sin. Jesus did that on the cross. It's a picture of God's plan to take away the sins of the world. The tabernacle was a temporary solution. Jesus would be the permanent thing. We don't have to pick it up and travel with it. Set it up, tear it down. He is always with us, and he has prepared a place. Jesus has made it possible for you to be in the presence of God. If anybody had went in that Holy of Holies, they would have died other than the high priest. But isn't it wonderful? You can come right in the presence of God at any time, any time. Right now is an opportunity for you to come. If you haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can come. Enter into the presence of God this very day as we stand and sing the first verse only. Where he leads, I'll go. Thank you, folks, for your kind attention. And we only just touched that tabernacle. We just touched that thing. But isn't that wonderful that God has a plan of to take these imperfect people and perfect us through his Son, Jesus Christ, that we can be in his presence. And one day we'll be forever in his presence. Amen. Amen. Jerry, would you dismiss us God's care?
Father God, again, we're just so thankful for this beautiful morning that you provided for us, the warm, sunny weather, and just thankful for that. And thankful for your family. Thank you for the God, and thank you for the people, and for the world with you.